you that you have called us here. You call us your children. You call us your people. But not only that, we know that our family members are blessed also because of the work that you're doing through us. I thank you, dear Lord, that you call our families holy. Lord, you set apart our families. Even those that don't know you, Lord, they have access to you. They have people around them constantly in the family through us, Lord, because you've caused us to be in their lives. And so I thank you, dear Lord, that you choose, you desire to bless families. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be working in all of us, Lord, that you would be working through us to be speakers of your truth, to be speakers that encourage our family members, that they would be encouraged to know you, Lord, and that they would be encouraged to want to put their trust in you all the more. Lord, we do pray for our families. We see all kinds of struggles that are going on in wanting to raise children and wanting to take care of our parents and wanting to care for our families and wanting to just wanting the best for our families. Lord, we lift up our families to you. Lord, we need you in our families. And so, God, we lift these things up to you. And now, Lord, as we look to your word, I pray that you would cause us to look to you once again and to be encouraged by your truth and by your word. And so we lift this time up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through a series called The Strangest Kingdom. And through these chapters that we've been looking at in the book of Matthew, we're doing a comparison basically between God's kingdom's values and the world's values. And each time we go through a sermon every week, the challenge is for you guys to think about your own lives. How do I make my decisions? Do I make my decisions based on the kingdom's values as presented through Jesus Christ, or do I make my decisions based on the world's values, by my own family background's values? How do I make my decisions? And today we're going to continue in that kind of conversation. And the main topic for today that we're going to be discussing is how do we understand what is good? How do we understand what is success, even? How do we understand and how do we define these terms? And what is it that we're actually pursuing in our lives? And so to get a deeper understanding of that, we want to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 today. And we'll be starting in verse 13. Again, today, I want to encourage you guys, if you have your Bibles, to open it up, whether it be on your phones or if you have a hard copy, that's great also. Even if you're watching online, I want to encourage you guys to open up your Bibles because I will be looking at the passage today and we'll be pointing to specific verses. And so we won't always be showing all the verses on the screen. So it'd be great if you do have a Bible with you. All right. So Matthew chapter 19, we're going to start in verse 13. And we'll go all the way to the end of the chapter. This is the reading of God's word. Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. And behold, a man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Amen. What does salvation have to do with our lives today? Think about that question. Is eternal life important for us now, even in this moment? I mean, as Christians, we always talk about how we need to have eternal life, and we talk about how people need to think about what's going to happen after they die and what their eternal destiny is going to look like. But someone might ask that question, what does that have to do with my life now? Well, for the Jews, eternal life was connected with the idea of the kingdom of heaven. And so when they thought about eternal life, when they thought about the kingdom, they used it synonymously. When they thought about these things, what they thought about was one day a Messiah is going to come. One day the Messiah will come and he will establish a kingdom. And what the Messiah will do is that this chosen one, the Messiah, will come and conquer all the lands and will free us and rescue us and give us the peace that we've been looking for, will give us the nation and the status that we're looking for. And so they had these things in mind. When the Messiah comes, things will be wonderful. Everything that we've been looking for in life will finally come true. So let me say that one more time. If eternal life had to do with the kingdom, then the Jews were looking forward to a life where there would be rescue from this world, where there would be peace, where things would be made right, where people would live in harmony. There'd be no disasters or pain or suffering because the king, the Messiah, would have dealt with all of these things. It would be a place of joy, a place of peace, of celebration, of victory, and therefore a place of security, of comfort, of rest, of honor. To be a part of the kingdom that has conquered all, and it would be a place of respect because of that. We would be part of a nation. We'd be part of a people that is proud because there's victory. And it'd be a place of full satisfaction. When we talk about these words like rest, security, comfort, peace, joy, final relief, honor, love, aren't these things the things that we all want? The main question is, how do we obtain this? How do we seek to obtain these things? And when we're talking about eternal life, what does that have to really do with our lives today? Well, the main idea for today, and if we could show the verse on the next screen, the main idea for today is to humble yourselves before the Lord. And the way that I want to divide up this sentence with our 3 points is, number one, our first point will be humble. Number two, yourselves. And number three, before the Lord. Okay? Humble yourselves before the Lord. And we'll talk about how this idea of salvation, eternal life, even the idea of success, those things that we search for in life, how that relates to the idea of humbling ourselves before the Lord. All right, so let's talk about this first point. Humble. When we say humble yourselves before the Lord, we take this as a command. And so the main command for today is that we need to humble ourselves. We need to be humble. All right? Now, let's dive into the passage. And as we look, in the first few verses, it talks about how the children were brought to Jesus Christ. They were brought to him, and they were brought to him because they wanted, the parents wanted Jesus to lay his hands on these children and pray for them. And the idea of laying his hands on them and praying for them is this idea of giving them a blessing. Right? So these children, if we could remember back to a couple sermons ago, we talked about the status of children in these ancient times. The status of children were that they were not seen as regular people. They were seen as people without status. They were seen as people that weren't, not like precious little children like some of us might think about them today. They were people without status. And some of us, we still treat children in that way. I know I do. Sometimes my son will come up to me and talk about the most important thing for him. And it varies. The topic varies from season to season. There was a time where he would be talking about Pokemon all day long. And he'd talk about this Pokemon and that Pokemon. And because he's a person that doesn't have a lot of status, I would just kind of ignore him. Well, I would try to show that I'm listening to him. And I would be doing my own thing. And I'll just nod my head. And I'll just say, Okay, now go off and do your homework. Right? In some ways, even though we might not say that they don't have status, but we treat them as people without status. Whereas in the other case, when we look down below in the rest of the passage, we hear about this rich young man. And we know that he's rich because the passage says so later. I mean, when it first introduces the guy, it just says in verse 16, "Behold, a man came up to Jesus." But later on, it talks about how he had great possessions. It talked about how he was a young man. And this guy was a moral guy. This guy kept all of the commands, as he states in this passage today. And so this guy, if we're doing a comparison, the children that came, that were brought to Jesus, were people that had no status. But this guy, this rich young man, in the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, it talks about how this guy was a ruler, right? So this guy was a guy of status. This guy had everything that everyone was looking for in life. And if we were to compare this guy, maybe not exactly in the same way, but maybe some people that come to mind for us when we talk about people that we might admire, people that might be moral, people that might be rich, maybe people that are young. Maybe some of the people that come to our mind are people like, I don't know, Bill Gates. He's rich. Seems like he's pretty moral. He's given away billions of dollars for philanthropic purposes. He's given away that much money. He seems like a really great guy, a great example for humanity. Or some people might think about Elon Musk. Do you guys know who Elon Musk is? Some people do, some people don't. He's the guy that's doing Tesla. He owns, or not anymore, but he's the one that started Tesla, SpaceX, and then other bunch of other companies. Or some people might think about Ellen DeGeneres. Anyone know who Ellen DeGeneres is? Okay, some people might. Okay, this person is a person that's a talk show host and always gives away prizes and is always like wanting to do wonderful things. Or maybe Oprah Winfrey, right? Okay, so all these people are people that other people look up to. People of status. And when we look at those people, we think, if only I had what they had. If only I had what they had. Because if I did, then maybe I would experience rest. I could retire. If I had what they had, then I would experience security. If I had what they had, then I would be comforted. I wouldn't have to worry about the things that I worry about today. The things I worry about today is my future, my children's future. The things I worry about today are, you know, if my health is going to be okay, or if my parents are going to be okay. We worry about all of these things. We worry about, I want to be a successful person. I want to get married so that my parents would stop bothering me. Or I want to get married because then maybe finally my parents would respect me. Right? We have all of these hopes. We have all of these things that we look forward to. We want these things. And we look at some of these people and we think, these people have it all. I want something like that. I don't want to be Bill Gates. I don't want to be Oprah Winfrey. But I want something like that. I want to at least have some type of successful job. I want to have at least some type of just a family. I don't even have to have a lot of money. Why? Because the thing we're looking for is peace and comfort and rest and joy. We want all of these things. And it relates to eternal life because what the scriptures tell us is that these things that we're looking for are going to be found when we're finally with Jesus in heaven one day. But Jesus' main message is, you're not going to find that. And it's going to be hard for you to find that if you have everything that you're looking for. If you already have everything that you're looking for. And so it's going to be hard for you to find that. But for those that are humble, for those that are low of status, that are still searching, for those people, if they fix their eyes on Jesus, if they fix their eyes on the kingdom of heaven, then they will be the ones that will receive that one day. And that's why at the very end of this passage, I know we're like skipping a whole bunch, but at the very end of this passage, what does it say? It says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. This is the main idea. If you want to be exalted, if you want to experience all those things that we're looking for in life, if you really want to experience life, then you have to humble yourself. You have to be like these children. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these children that have no status. These people that can't help themselves. There's no way that they can find any kind of comfort or peace or joy just on their own. So they're always looking to their parents. The first will be last, and the last first. So we need to humble ourselves. Now, the second point is yourselves. Humble yourselves. And here we want to look a little bit more closely at the passage and look a little bit more closely at the rich young man. And my hope is that as we talk about the second point, that you guys will begin to compare your own selves with this man. Am I experiencing something similar to what this guy went through? And there may be some points where it is similar and there may be some points where it's not similar. But let's take a closer look at this rich young man. And so, remember, Jesus is on his way from Galilee, making his trek down towards Jerusalem. As he's making his trek down, he encounters a lot of people. He heals a lot of people. And at this part of the story, some children were brought to him. They asked him, and the disciples said, no, send them away. What are you guys doing? Stop bothering Jesus. Jesus says, no, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. He blesses them, lays his hands on them, and then sends them away. And he continues on his journey, and then a man comes up to him, and he asks Jesus the question, teacher, what good must I do to have eternal life? So he asks Jesus, What good? What is it that I need to do to experience eternal life? To get to eternal life? And Jesus' answer is kind of an interesting answer because it's not an answer, it's a question. And it says in verse 17, and he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. And then he goes on to say, if you want to enter life, then keep the commandments. But this response is a very interesting response. Why does Jesus ask this question? The guy says, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And Jesus says, why are you talking about what is good? There's only one who is good. This is so important here for us to understand why Jesus even asked this question. Because what Jesus is doing is, he's saying, look, when you come to ask me about what good thing you must do, what you're assuming is that these things that you're pursuing are good, that you're able to do what's good. You're able to bring success to your own life and achieve this good thing. But let me tell you, there's only one who is good. And anything that you try to do to bring about the satisfaction that you're looking for, you're going to fail. There's only one who is good, and that's God. So Jesus makes this point. I know you're looking for something good. And I know you're really trying hard with your life. You're really trying hard. But I want you to know what your heart is yearning for is not going to be satisfied here on earth. The thing that you're looking for, the thing that you will be fulfilled by, is God alone. The one that you're looking for is God. So turn your eyes toward him. Jesus is already trying to point this rich young ruler in that direction. But he goes on. He just asks this question and he just makes the statement, there's only one who is good. And he goes on, though. He says, if you want eternal life, then keep these commands. And so we see here, there's this, the guy, he asks the question, which commands? And Jesus goes on to start listing out some commands. And if you guys are familiar with the Bible, these commands are part of the Ten Commandments. And so what does he say? He says, you shall not murder. That's the sixth commandment. You shall not commit adultery. That's the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. That's the eighth commandment. You shall not bear false witness. That's the ninth commandment. And then he doesn't go to the tenth commandment, which is do not covet. He doesn't do that. That's not part of the list. Because this guy is rich. Who is he going to covet? Right? Rather, what he does is he goes back to the fifth command. And he kind of tricks everyone. And he kind of goes back to the fifth command, which is honor your father and mother. And then instead of going backwards to the fourth and third and second and first command, he jumps to another command, which is love your neighbor as yourself, which is found in Leviticus. So he lists out all these commands, and this guy is listening, and he's like, okay, I got that. I got that. I did that. I'm doing that. And so after Jesus lists out all these commands, and think about it, all these commands have to do with how you relate with other people. And the first four commands of the Ten Commandments are about how you relate with God. Right? But the ones that Jesus lists out are how we relate with other people. And so he lists all those commands out. And then what does the young man say? He says, all these I have kept. But then he goes on and he asks a question still. He says, what do I still lack? And so for this guy, he's still feeling there's something that's still missing there. Perhaps for some of us, maybe we're pursuing because we feel that lack. There's something that's missing. And even when we're doing our best to work, even when we're doing our best to provide for our families, we're doing our best to succeed in life, but there's still something, there's always something that's lacking. And that's what this guy is experiencing. And so Jesus responds to him and says, if you would be perfect, if you want to really achieve eternal life and be sure of where you're headed, then sell what you possess, everything that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. What does Jesus say? Basically, what he's saying is, everything that you've looked to give you that sense that you're doing pretty well, or everything you're pursuing to make you feel like, if only I could do this, then things will be fine in my life. All of those things that you find security in this world, all those things that you find any kind of hope in, all those things that you feel like will make you happy, give it up. And have the hope that one day you will receive everything you're looking for in heaven. And follow me. Follow Jesus Christ. What happens? It says the young man heard this and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What about yourselves? Humble yourselves, right? The way to humble ourselves, as Jesus tells us here, is to give up all of those things that we feel like we're able to pursue, that we're able to achieve, all those things that we think are going to make us happy, to give all that up and be in a place where you are helpless so that you can follow Jesus. Give it all up and follow Jesus Christ. Are you able to do that? Now, what we're not saying, I just want to be clear, what we're not saying is that I want you to go and sell your business. If God calls you to do that, maybe that's what you need to do. But I'm not saying that you have to do that. And I'm not saying that you have to give up your families. You need to reject your families and do that. But maybe that's what God is calling you to do. And if that's the case, are you willing to do that? This is such a simple idea, but it's a very, very difficult idea. Because I imagine that when we think about all the things that we're pursuing in our lives, like try to fill out this sentence. If only I, then I would be happy. If only I had that job, then I'll be satisfied. If only I can have children, then I would be just, that would just make me so happy. If only I could get married. If only my job would work out. If only my business would work out. If only I could retire soon. And the list goes on and on. Every person has a different sentence. If only I, then I would be satisfied. And these things are our treasures. These things that we pursue are the things that we're giving our whole lives to, and we're striving after those things. And we're giving it our all, and when we're not able to reach that thing, then we feel so stressed, and we feel so like we're failures, and we feel like nothing's working out. We feel like everything's crumbling in this world. But when we're able to achieve it, we feel so satisfied. We feel like everything's going great. We feel so proud of ourselves. And in either situation, whether we achieve it or we don't, it causes us to turn away and to look away from the eternal treasure that our hearts are actually yearning for. These things on earth, they will never satisfy. We will be like this rich young man that says, what do I still lack? And God calls us to give it up and follow Jesus, to follow the kingdom's ways. But a lot of times for us, we say, it's so hard to give it up. I mean, one of the best examples, I think, is the example of giving up our children to the Lord. Because we feel like children are ours. Now, I know that some of you, a lot of you don't have children, and that's okay. But if you could imagine your parents thinking about you, or if you could imagine your friends that are parents and how they think about their children and how precious they are. If we could imagine that scenario together and just assume that all of these people are Christian, and all of a sudden, the child is taken away. I have friends that gone through experiences like these, whether unborn or born. Paula and I, we went through a situation where we lost an unborn child. I have a friend in America right now who has the coronavirus. And he wrote on his Facebook page that, you know, I'm doing okay. I feel extremely weak at times. And I feel like I'm dying. But then I recover and I feel okay. The only symptom is that he just feels extremely tired at times, exhausted. And he says, the hardest thing about this is that I can't get close to my family. I can only be looking at my family through a screen online. And he has a newborn child, and he's not able to hold his baby. I have another friend who passed away from the coronavirus. And her sister is also my friend. We went to church together in the past. Well, this sister is doing a GoFundMe, is raising funds for the funeral for her sister and her dad that passed away from the coronavirus. We hold on to these things like our families or our jobs or whatever it might be. We hold on to it so tightly because if we have these things, then we feel like things are okay. If only I can live a certain kind of lifestyle, then things are okay. But then disaster happens in this world. And all of a sudden, things change. And you're not able to have that thing that you want anymore. And what do you do in that kind of moment? Jesus says, give it up. Because though you think this might bring you the satisfaction you're looking for, it won't ultimately. Look to eternal life, the eternal treasures that we'll have there. Look forward to that and pursue a life that pursues that. Change everything that you think about this life. Change the reason why you live this life. Change how you live your daily life according to those goals, looking to the eternal treasures of being with Jesus Christ, who will completely satisfy you, not these things on earth. These things will fade away. Follow Jesus. But it's so hard. I forget it a lot of times. Humbling ourselves means getting to a place where we say, I cannot fulfill these things that I'm looking for, the satisfaction of having the comfort and peace and joy. Humbling myself means acknowledging that I cannot do it myself, and I need you, Jesus, in my life to do this. I want to turn to you. So humble yourselves before the Lord. Come before the Lord. Jesus says that it's difficult for a rich person that has everything that they think they're looking for to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye, you know, the little hole where you put the thread through. It's easier for a camel to go through that. Of course, he's exaggerating here. It's easier for a camel to go through that than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples, they heard this. And they said, because in their minds, they're still thinking, only a rich guy like that can enter the kingdom of heaven. Only a moral guy like that can enter the kingdom of heaven. Only a young guy that's doing so well in life like that can enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus, if you're saying it's hard for a rich person like that to enter the kingdom of heaven, then who then can be saved? Because perhaps for the disciples, they were still pursuing these things that are on the earth. They thought that those things were the things that were going to bring them satisfaction. But here's the amazing part. Jesus says, with man, having a rich man enter eternal life is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Even you, yourself, you are able to come to know Jesus and experience this eternal treasure and begin to change your life in a pursuit of that. And Jesus is saying, even no matter who you are, no matter who you've been, you can be saved, not by your own efforts to save yourself, to satisfy yourself, not by your own efforts, but with God, all things are possible. And in the rest of the passage, it just talks about the disciples saying, this is exactly what we've done. And Jesus says, yes, that's what you have done. And this is what will be happening for you in heaven. But then he concludes by saying, and everyone who has left houses or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Everything that you're looking for in this life is found in Jesus Christ. Give up those things and turn to Jesus. By ourselves, we cannot do it. But that's why, and if we could turn to the next slide, we have these verses that tell us that no matter how much we've tried, we are not able to find Jesus on our own. But that's why Jesus Christ came. We're enslaved to these things that we pursue, and we often forget about God in our lives. But that's why Jesus had to come. And this is what it says. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we couldn't humble ourselves, Jesus chose to come and humble himself. Jesus had everything in heavenly glory, but he gave it all up. But not only did he give up everything in heavenly glory, but as a man, he experienced everything that we experience and yet was without sin. And he was willing to go to the cross to take our punishment. He was willing to go to the cross so that we would have the opportunity to be reconciled to God, so that we would have an opportunity to recognize that these things on earth will not satisfy us. Only God himself, Jesus Christ, will be able to satisfy us. Jesus Christ was humbled, and then he was raised. And in the same way, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are united with him. And when we humble ourselves, we will also be raised with him in glory. And so I want to turn back to the first verse that I showed you guys, James 4. And actually, I didn't show you the whole verse, but this is what it says. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Everything that we look for is found only in Jesus Christ. And the only reason why we're able to turn to Jesus is because of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And so I want to conclude with just a couple questions for you guys to think about. Maybe you could take this time when we sing this song, the next song. Take the time to write down in your notes, maybe in your notes section of your phone, to answer this question. What am I looking to achieve in this life? What is most important to me? Maybe you could fill out that sentence. If only I, whatever it is, then I would be happy. And be honest about your life, about what you're actually thinking. And write that out. And that may be something, if it's not Jesus, that may be something that you need to surrender to follow Jesus. Take some time to think through that question. Take some time to ask the question, am I willing to give up these things to follow the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you.